Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with guitarist Sharon Isbin when the Philadelphia Chamber Music Society brought her to town to perform a recital for voice and guitar with Isabel Leonard. Isbin's life is incredibly busy, performing in recital and with orchestras, working with artists from different genres, and teaching at Juilliard in Aspen, where she leads guitar departments. She's the subject of a documentary, Sharon Isbin, Troubadour, which had recently won the 2015 ASCAP Television Broadcast Award. She had also recently released a box set of recordings with a great variety of music. I asked her how she got into all of this. She first took guitar lessons in Italy when she was just 9 years old.
Our family moved there on sabbatical from Minneapolis, which is where I grew up, and my father is a scientist. And he was invited to be a consultant in a town near Milan. And my oldest brother said he wanted guitar lessons. So my parents were thrilled to discover not only was there a former student of Segovia who was teaching in town, but he was concertizing all over Europe. So they brought my brother for the interview. And the moment he realized it was classical and not Elvis Presley, he said, not for me. So I basically volunteered to take his place.
Now, what attracted you to the guitar as a 9-year-old?
For me, it's just something very exotic and different. This was also going to rescue me from having to take piano lessons. So I figured it was a good deal all around.
So you liked the sound of it, the look of it?
Well, it was an instrument that had to be made for me. And I remember we visited the guitar maker off in the countryside and climbed a rickety staircase through all his flocks of chickens, and he measured my hands, and a couple months later, there was the guitar. So it was something very special and very personal, and that appealed to me.
I would think that it would be very difficult to learn classical guitar, especially as a 9-year-old, but I was talking with someone this weekend. We were discussing what would be the most difficult thing about learning guitar. You're using small motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
With two hands doing different things.
With different fingers, as opposed to a bow, and there are no keys,
right,
and there are no pedals. So it is really direct contact. And actually, what is surprising to most people is that because we don't use a pick with the nylon strings, we're using our fingernails. So you actually have to grow them and use them in such a way that they create this extraordinary variety of colors and sounds that can range from very bright and metallic to very dolce and caressing. So it's a remarkably versatile instrument that has more colors than any other.
So you use your nails and the tips of your fingers?
Yes. And depending on how much and the angle and the position on the string, that changes the quality of the sound.
And then your left hand is pressing down the strings.
Right. And actually you can play the same note with the left hand in five different places. So that too influences the timbre and the nature of the note that you're playing. So you have to figure out all kinds of things, just like you would be if you were an actor performing. You have to figure out the character of the piece and what colors, like a painter would, best will express them.
Wow. Was it difficult to learn?
Well, who knew at that time that I would ever have any professional interest? So I was just a kid learning how to play the guitar, and that was 20 minutes a day. That was it for me.
I was thinking that your youth also might have helped you not be discouraged by the obstacles which you've later talked about, which are that you were playing classical guitar and the classical music repertoire isn't terribly receptive to the guitar.
Well, as I got older and I became more involved as a performer and began to enter competitions and win them, it soon became clear to me that we needed more music. So I began working from the age of 17 with composers and premiered my first concerto at the age of 17.
Wow. Well, I understand that at 14, you won a competition to play with the Minnesota Orchestra, and we're pretty excited by that experience.
Because before that time, before I was 14, I was going to be a rocket scientist. And my father used to say that I couldn't launch my rockets until I put in an hour on the guitar. So that's how they bribed me to keep going. But suddenly I won this competition, and the award was to step out on stage with the Minnesota Orchestra in front of 10,000 people. And I thought, you know, this is even more exciting than seeing my worms and grasshoppers go up into space. I'm going to be a guitarist. So it was literally an overnight experience. And then I began to practice more and discover that, hey, you actually sound better the more you practice.
Wow. And were you nervous performing?
Well, I think everything is a process. So there's a certain naivete when you're really young. You just do it. later you start to think about it. So I think that it's always an advantage to just do things organically. And there was never any plan or design from the beginning that it was going to go a certain direction. But as that evolved, I just embraced it.
And then you also had tremendous courage in going after composers, as you mentioned a minute ago, to write for you.
And one of the funniest stories I would have to say is John Corigliano, because I had met him when I moved to New York at a party, and then by chance 2 weeks later ran into him online at a post office nearby, and it was a long line. So I struck up a conversation. I said, "Hey, how would you like to write a concerto for me?" And he said, "Well, that's a fascinating idea. Call me about that." He gave me his number. I called him, and he said, "That's a great idea, but I'm really busy right now. Call me next year." And that little ritual repeated itself for a good 8 years until I finally threw up my hands and I said to his publisher, "How do I get this guy to write me a piece?" And she suggested if I could think of something that had a dramatic concept to it, that maybe he would go for it. So overnight, I thought of the French troubadours from Provençal, 13th century. I would be the troubadour and perambulate among the orchestra. And that really is, as soon as he got that letter, he called me right away and he said, "I want to do it."
What is it like working with a composer, especially one who is not immediately familiar with the instrument? I would imagine it would be a meeting halfway, because you would be teaching a composer about what the guitar can do, and the composer would think of sounds,
right,
that he or she wants you to make.
And each situation is so different. In the case of Tan Dun, he wanted to write something that was inspired by the ancient Chinese lute or the pipa. So for him, the idea of the pluck sound was a very natural thing, and he wanted to honor the heritage of the Spanish guitar. So there's this beautiful union in his concerto between Spanish flamenco gestures and Chinese folk music. In the case of Chris Rouse, it was his idea, because he loved the architecture of Antoni Gaudí in Barcelona, to do something that would be inspired by that. So listening to the Chris Rouse is almost like listening to a Dali painting, because you have the gestures of Spanish music that then, like that dripping clock, evolve into something surreal. And the second movement is inspired by the famous Sagrada Familia, the cathedral in Barcelona.
And do you feel as if the guitar is a character? Are you inhabiting a world when you're playing that guitar?
Well, in a way, yes. And just as you have to interpret a piece of theater, and if you're the director of the theater, decide who's going to be in the foreground, the middle ground, the background, how much prominence they have, what their spoken dialect is and dialogue. Same thing is true with the colors I choose and which voices to bring out. I was very fortunate to spend 10 years studying with the great Rosalind Turek, who was one of the most foremost keyboard and artists of Bach and Bach scholars. And from her, I learned a lot about structure and its relationship to performing Bach and interpreting it. Of course, embellishment, phrasing, dynamics, articulation, all of these things that come into play when you're interpreting scores from a long time ago that don't have all the instructions that our contemporary music has. And one of the reasons you can feel free to explore different settings for the Bach's music is that he himself actually transcribed hundreds of his own works for different instruments. The music is really rooted in structure, as opposed to Chopin, where it's rooted in sonority. So the flexibility of presenting it on different instruments is something that is Bach himself embraced and would have embraced with the guitar.
As you've done so many things and kind of expanded the repertoire up and out with so many different genres and done crossover work, has your relationship with the instrument itself changed? Does the guitar do different things for you now than it did years ago?
It's always, for me, an expanding horizon. And even just the idea of performing with people, I have a trio called Guitar Passions with Stanley Jordan, the jazz player, and Romero Lubambo, the bossa nova player from Brazil. And when we perform, they're improvising often, and I'm going along with them and doing a part that is created so that they can improvise. And it's been really a very, I would say, liberating feeling to do that musically, but also in terms of relating to audiences, because that world, the pop world and the jazz world, relate to audiences with a degree of openness that I think the classical people could learn a lot from. And I've been doing that ever since I first began collaborating with Tom Jobim and Lorindo Almeida. I've been doing crossover for a very, very long time and always was drawn to it in a very organic way. It was never an idea of, oh, this is a good career move. I often thought the opposite, but it was something that would be really, to me, inspiring and exciting and a way of exploring music that I loved.
And also opening up the
new horizons for the guitar, absolutely. And the success we've toured now in 25 different cities as Guitar Passions, this trio, people love it because they're hearing something they've never heard before. They're hearing all these three worlds come together, jazz, bossa nova, Brazilian, and classical, but in a way that really works, that's not contrived.
What is your mission in your work these days?
I think just to be open and to really have no preconceptions about what's around the corner has allowed me to embrace all kinds of new opportunities when they present. So I'm sure there'll be new commissions and composers and new collaborations and new recordings. There are still a lot of projects that are important to me that I want to continue pursuing.
Sharon Isbin, thank you so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.